Many of you already know I'm not an avid baseball fan. Now, that's not a sin, so don't get angry, okay? But I wanted to tell you a story about a particular baseball player. He was a major league player. He played for the New York Yankees, and he's not currently playing, by the way. His name was Yogi Berra. And Yogi Berra was known for these crazy phrases that he came up with. Now, some of you are shaking your head because you already know and you might remember some of these. Well, one of the phrases that he came up with, and I'll tell you the context afterwards, but he came up with, and he's been quoted many times, that when you come to the fork in the road, take it. Simple as that. And that's been used in leadership meetings and development meetings and corporate meetings and planning meetings and in all kinds of different ways, but it's been turned into something that it was never meant to be. You see, the story behind that quote was he was talking to a friend on the phone, and the friend was going to be coming to his house. And in giving him instructions that when you came to this fork in the road, he said, take it, because either way leads to my house. That was the point that he was making. Well, today, we are convinced, as far as our faith life and our walk with God, that it doesn't matter what direction you take. That all roads lead to a closeness with God, to a joy in life, to happiness and peace, eternal salvation. We are convinced in the sense of all these kinds of different ideas of what the truth is, that when you come to some part in your life, it really makes no difference which one you take. Today's Old Testament lesson is to a people that would behave exactly this way. The word was given to Moses a long time ago, but it's a word that's valid today. It was given to a people that were stuck, enslaved in sin. It was given to a people that God used Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, and he would lead them to a land of promise. But what was interesting in this journey, you would think that after the 10 plagues and everything that God showed his power and his love for them, because he did that to get the people free, free from the Pharaoh's authority and the Egyptian army treachery and torture and enslavement. He did so much, you would have think they got the memo. But when they got to the water's edge, they complained because the Egyptian soldiers were coming after them, and they thought it was better that if they stayed slaves, they would have had a better quality life than to dying here. And after they got across and they were out in the wilderness, they got thirsty. And then they grumbled again and they complained. And God gave them water from a rock. And then, and if you remember this Old Testament narrative, time and time again, God provided for his people. And they get out to a place called Mount Sinai. And it's on top of Mount Sinai up there that God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And if you remember the movie with Charlton Heston, right? You know, that great booming voice and, you know, and all that the theatrical effects can bring. Do you remember what the people were doing down below? They were making a golden calf. They weren't so certain about the end result of what was happening on the mountaintop so that they would cover their back, protect themselves from all front. They thought, well, we got this God, but why don't we get another God too? You know, we'll bring everybody in on it. And this would really help them as a nation. and it really didn't. And it's interesting that humanity continues to repeat that behavior, doesn't it? We say, I believe in God. We say, you know, I'm alive in Christ. For us Lutherans, water and the word, our baptism. For us Lutherans, the presence of Christ and the bread and the wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say that I'm forgiven, and then we still turn around and we want to make our own directions. I'm going to tell on Gwen and I didn't ask her permission. Sorry. To get to some places in town, we take different routes. Does that happen between you and your family members? Okay, I see some nods. Yeah. And it drives us insane. And both of us believe we're right. You just had some backers. Did you see that? They pointed to Gwen's right. You're right. She does it more often than I do. And because she does the shopping for this church office and our house and things like that. I'm out and about and I don't always go to the stores. I go to the hospital and homes and things like that. And so I have my own traffic pattern. But you know, we do this with God, don't we? God says, stay to the right. And how do we go? I only want to make left-hand turns. I only want to go this way because we think it's prettier. We think it's better. We think it's mightier. We think it's lovelier. We think the traffic flows more. We think, you know, there's less hazards. We think there's nuts that live on that side of town. So we go this side of town. And on we have all of our excuses that seem completely rational to us. And we don't listen to God. Is that true? So God gives us a list. And it's not a detailed list. It's big paint strokes. He gives us a list in this Old Testament text. And he tells us that it's not just a matter of preference, whether you like beef or chicken better. It's not a matter about the choices of two really good restaurants, you know, and either one, you're going to get a great meal. This is a direction from God about it's either good or it's evil. There's no in between. There's no neutral turf. Well, how was your meal? Well, it was okay. You see, God never looks at our life and our choices. You know, Carl Wink, that was okay. It's either I'm honoring him and I'm walking by faith or I'm not. There's no middle ground. And he talks about it. If you follow along on your bulletin, let's walk through this. We're going to go very quickly. And you will see how God outlines this for you. He said, I have set this before you today. And he tells you what the options are. Life and good, that's one pair. And then death and evil. So anything else doesn't exist. There's only two categories. So as you know, after the Reformation, you know, with Martin Luther and all, you know, we learned that we're saved by faith through grace, right? In fact, there's even a Bible verse. Imagine that. There's a Bible verse that says that. And it's been there all along. But people have been finding ways to add to the requirements and to the mandates. And you have to do this and you have to do that and so forth. But what happens is God says, there's only one way. And when you choose the other ways, you're placing salvation itself in jeopardy. And so he goes on to say in this list, he talks about, what does it mean to live with God because of God and for God? What does it mean to do that? Well, it becomes an expression of our whole being and our lifestyle, our thinking and our heart. It comes in the form of, we obey the commandments of the Lord your God. It comes that loving the Lord your God. It comes by walking in his ways. It comes by keeping his commandments, his statutes, and his rules. You see, there's no other route. There is absolutely no other path. And the one that walked that path for us is Jesus. It's easy for us to know that. That Jesus died on the cross, paying for our sins, living perfectly, and then our sins dumped on him, so he carried the wrath and the punishment of God, and then on Easter, he rose from the dead, showing us, God already knew, showing us that that death was accepted by him as a gift and a payment for all time, for everyone. And that's all of you and me. And then he turns it around and he says, you know, follow me. He doesn't say, okay, you're on your own. That's what our parents do. You know, when we get to be past 18, 19, and it's time to either go get a job or go to college or something like that, it's time you grow up. It's time you make a path on your own. And some of us were a little slower getting out of the house than others, but the goal is to get there. God doesn't do that. He never says you're on your own. The path has been set by Christ. The path has been modeled by Christ. The path is empowered. Our living it is empowered by Christ. We're never on our own. But you know what we choose to do? We choose to go on our own. That's what Israel did. They chose the golden calf. And by the time Christ comes and is born of Mary and is raised by Mary and Joseph, you know, they had all kinds of stuff. And in fact, what happened with the prophets in the Old Testament, Jesus basically repeated the same thing, that the people that were called God's people honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. And so you and I are called. You and I are equipped by the word to know the path. It's in our language. It's in our priorities. It's in our lifestyle. It's in our marriage. It's in our parenting. That God's word has taught us his way. It's in the way we ask for forgiveness when we have failed and have offended and hurt others. It's in the way we give God the credit when things went right, because it certainly wasn't because of us. It's in the way in which we speak the truth about life and salvation, about pro-life issues. It's in the way that we have conversations about ethics and values and truth. God says to us, stay right. To not deviate, to not veer away from that, to not say, oh, looky there. Almost like we're a dog and it's squirrel, you know, and off we're going. God calls us to live in his name. This lesson sounds heavy with law, and there is law in it. But it's also full of his love. Think about your mom and dad. I hope they did some of this. Did they ever teach you not to stick metal in an outlet? Okay? Did they ever teach you not to play with knives? Did they ever teach you do not swing a bat in the living room? Okay? Did they ever teach you, do not put a rope around your brother's neck? And if you're obstinate as the Israelites are going, all these rules, you know, they don't love me. They're not letting me try things my way. And the rules are because of love. The rules are because he cares. He knows there's no in between. Either it's good or it's evil. It's no longer tolerable, somewhat likable. Okay. Iffy. It's either or. And as believers, we need to solidify this perspective because our country's going nuts. And the only way our country can go nuts is because people, one by one, have forgotten the instructions from God, the encouragement from God, the wisdom of God, the truth of God, the love of God. Stay right. And our journey in life is to grow in the wisdom of the Lord. And as we look back, I'm now 65, and I look back and I think of all the things I did that wasn't right. I go, how am I living today? You know, last week, I think I mentioned about, you know, some kids wanted to be doctors and people thought, you're going to grow up to be a lawyer. And I told you, most people that knew me thought I was going to grow up to be an inmate. You know, and isn't it amazing how gracious our God is, who brings people who keep turning left and in trouble, he brings us back to the right way, his will, his grace, and his truth. Today you get to renew, I'm going to be turning right. Not because you're bound and determined here, but because God fills you here with his presence, his spirit, and his love. And so, therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and the length of days. That's powerful, isn't it? There's no in-between. Either our choices are leading in the way of salvation, showing we have faith, living the faith, or our choices are leading to the way of destruction. And God says his desire for us is that we go his way. Which is your desire? Only you can answer that for yourself. Only you can say, almost like that hymn, I've decided to follow Jesus, you know? Yeah. I choose right. Amen.